He's a former Brewers pitcher. You can hear him on his podcast, Buses, Benches, and Baseball. It's time to hear from FanDuel Sports Network Brewers analyst, Tim Dillard, as he joins Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
There he is, that beautiful hunk of a looking man. He is Tim Dillard. Follow him on social media and on Twitter at Dim Tillard. How are we doing, Tim Dillard?
Good. Just interested in all this trade deadline stuff.
Interested. You could take a nap for the Brewers. I mean, they haven't done anything. And look, I'm not even kind of even remotely surprised. I ranted yesterday in my frustration by how this whole thing was going to go. And they still have, what, 2.5 hours to still make a deal. And maybe they will make a deal or two. We'll see what ends up happening at the end of the day. But everybody else that's at the top of the food chain in Major League Baseball, AL or NL, and even those that aren't, like the Padres and the Reds, are making moves, trying to get better here at the trade deadline. The Brewers, quiet as a mouse as we sit here right now today, still with no deal. Tim Dillard, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm not surprised. The team's got the best record in all of baseball. They're winning ball games, scoring a lot of runs. They're not giving up a ton of runs. And I mean, where can you really improve? I'm sure everybody on social media knows what to do, but it's kind of funny that until you're actually in the driver's seat of being a general manager, being the president of whatever it is, stuff's not as easy as you think it is. And then what does it mean for the team if you start making moves? Well, it's not a big move. It's like, well, you replace a guy that's done well, and you're telling that guy, well, you've done good, but it's not good enough. So there's a lot of ripple effects rather than just go get the best guy you can and put him there. So I'm not surprised at all. They got a great team. I think they got a chance to do some great things, and they need a piece or two. Who knows? But there's still time.
So I guess I'm a little bit confused. Maybe I've been wrong a long time about something. I always thought from a player's perspective, obviously I'm not a player, never have been, but if from a player's perspective, I would think at the deadline you would want the organization to bring in good players to try and help push you past, you know, the line and potentially win a World Series. Do you think that right now in this clubhouse they're saying, we're good, we don't need anything, we're good enough, let's go win? I mean, because I've always heard from different people that, you know, they would be people in the Brewers clubhouse would be frustrated when the Brewers didn't go make a move to try and push them over, you know, at the deadline and stayed status quo at the deadline. Is that not the case?
Well, I mean, you said push over the line. Right now they're at the top of the line, you know, so whatever they've been doing, the moves they've made, getting Vaughn, getting Priester, getting Quintana, all that's pretty much worked. You know, put Durbin at third, that's worked. Collins in left field, that has worked. Contreras coming around. I mean, everything they've done has worked. So it's, where are you going to improve? They decided that, you know, they needed a backup catcher. Well, I mean, that's their prerogative. You know, they can make all kinds of moves. But what I think they're doing is they're looking around going, the moves that they've made in the offseason and the moves they've made in the past, and obviously a couple this year, the deadline is just for theatrics. That's why we're talking about this now. You know, yeah. If you want to be a good GM, you know, make the moves that you know will work and do it as soon as possible. Go back to Willy Adames. That trade happened in like May. I think the reason there's a deadline is big because you want to see where your players are. If there's injuries or somebody's underperforming, then you have a chance to make some sort of move. But I think general managers really like when they have a team come together and they're winning a bunch of ball games and then not wanting to mess with it.
You know, the other part about this I brought up earlier, and I think you see it from guys like Dave Dombrowski, you know, who's got World Series rings, plural. Preller in San Diego has nothing, but he is super aggressive as well. Is I feel like there are some GMs that, like, screw it, I don't care about these prospects, I'm trying to win a World Series, I'll worry about my farm system later and deal with it then. And then I think there are other GMs that look at it and go, no, I'm not going to be swindled. I need my farm system, you know, to continue to build this organization. And if I'm wrong on this, it could come back and burn me and cost us, you know, 2-3 years down the line in the organization if that guy turns out to be really good. And I feel like the Brewers are in the situation because of current payroll situation versus Philly, who's got a ton of money and so forth, where they can't afford maybe to go and try and push in and win a World Series, as much as that's what I want them to do, that they have to be more careful about making sure they don't get burned by somebody turning out to be really, really great and then not being able to win a World Series with the guy that they acquired.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You do have to take a look around and see which teams that still left on the schedule, right? Who are you going to play in August? Who are you going to play in September? Who are you going to match up against in the early rounds? And if they're improving in certain areas, then it may be mathematically smart to go, okay, we need someone to kind of counteract some of this stuff. But honestly, if I'm in the clubhouse and I'm a part of this team and the Brewers don't make any huge moves, I'm sitting there going, I feel really good about myself that what I've been doing is good, and I'm the whole team, all the players are trending in the right direction. That's a vote of confidence to those guys. If you go and go get the biggest whatever and you rent them for 2 months and then you don't win the World Series, then it's like, well, I mean, and we're complaining about something else in November. So for me personally, like as a player, I think it's really cool when they're like, you know what, we're going to run it with the guys we have. Now, if they go get somebody, and I think I said this last week, if they go get somebody to play a primary position, they have to get somebody that they're going to have for a while. I don't think they're going to go and pick up a rental for 2 months and take away someone's position on the field right now.
So you're saying if they go get somebody, it's got to be somebody they're going to have for 2 or 3 years probably at this point that they're going to have under team control. And if you look back, Yelich was a guy that they had under control. Greinke was a guy for 2 years. The only big-name player they've ever tried to rent was Sabathia. And as was pointed out to me the other day, well, they were desperate. It had been 20 years since they've been in the playoffs and 11 years not being .500, and it was all in. We just have got to try and break this streak to turn this thing around. But outside of Sabathia, for the most part, their other big moves have been guys that are under team control for certain.
Yeah, and I mean, they do all their work in the offseason. You know, there's so many good moves that transpired. And look, go back to spring training. Nobody knew who was going to play which spot in the infield, how things were going to play out in the outfield, who's going to be your everyday DH. And, you know, injuries happen and guys go to different roles and suddenly you have this team. And if it's not Baroque, don't fix it. I like the symphony, so that's a symphony joke. But that, I mean, if it works and everybody's in harmony, I mean, I watch this team play and it's like they're good. They're good at all facets. And if you go get a big bat, he's probably going to strike out more and probably not play as good a defense. And so that's kind of the trade-off. If you're on the mound and you're dealing and you don't have a good player in the, you know, playing defense behind you, then it's like, well, you better hit your home runs. We saw that a little bit from Willy Adames last year, right? He would make a couple errors or maybe not make a play, and then suddenly, boom, three-run blast. Why not just make that play? You know, and that takes some runs off the board that way.
Talking with Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Network, Wisconsin Brewers analyst, joins us every Thursday here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on The Fan out here at the Wisconsin State Fair, right by the infield entrance by the Milk House. Come on over, say hi. See Sparky Pfeiffer with you, chatting with Tim Dillard here. Let's talk a little bit about what is next for this Brewers rotation, because I still haven't seen any definitive way of what they're going to go with Nestor Cortes seemingly ready here to make a move going forward. And that was another one that I thought, okay, well, maybe they're shopping Cortes or Quintana to figure out that with the five and get a player in return for one of those guys, whether it be a prospect or a player that maybe can help this year to kind of solve that. I mean, between Cortes and Quintana, do you see one or both saying, yeah, sure, I'll go to the bullpen for the rest of the season and be okay with it at this point?
I don't know if either one of those guys would be primary bullpen people. I mean, I wouldn't. I'd rather limit somebody like, you know, Mizorowski or somebody or Woodruff, guys that can come out, pump nasty stuff for an inning or two and be done with it. I mean, to me, you got guys that hadn't pitched much out of the bullpen, so why would you do that? And if you wanted to trade him, you got to trade him to somebody that you're not going to contend with. The last thing you want to do is trade Quintana. He ends up with whoever, and then all of a sudden you're facing them and he's dealing. And then you look even worse, because that's a player's best thing to do. Oh, you didn't want me? Well, guess what? I'm about to shove it, you know, in your face. So,
and he's on the Brewers already.
Yeah, he's on the Brewers. Like, he just keep him. I like him. Is he going to be the guy that go out there in game three? No, but there's a lot of baseball left. There's 2 months, and if you have a bunch of these type of pieces, like, you don't want to just start giving things away thinking you have everything lined up. And again, there's always stuff happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. You know, there's limitations to certain guys. There's guys that are in the training room every day, even though they're not on the IL, but you know, everyone's dealing with something when it comes around, you know, the beginning of August.
He is Tim Dillard joining us here again, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's at the Wisconsin State Fair. Andrew Vaughn just continues to be unbelievable. I mean, just incredible is what he's been at this point. I don't know how I want to ask you this, but I guess I'll just ask it simply. What do you think is making him so good right now, watching him, that maybe wasn't happening before, you know, when he was down at AAA for the White Sox and struggled at the beginning of the year, and then the Brewers got him and had him go down there as well? And then I'm going to tell you a comparison that we have that I'll have Charlie play for you from MLB Network, that if he ends up being anywhere close to this guy, I mean, the potential Hall of Famer, if he ends up being the comparison to MLB Network they had for Andrew Vaughn and how they changed him. But go ahead. What do you think makes him so good right now?
Well, I mean, number one, he's a good player. I mean, he was drafted first round. I mean, he's got skills. Everyone knows that. And I heard Pat Murphy say, he was on TV, I think, yesterday on MLB Network talking about the team. And he was talking about Vaughn. And he said, you know what, the guy was humbled a little bit. He was in a tough environment in Chicago. They weren't winning. He gets sent down, and all of a sudden, he gets pulled over to the Brewers. He gets called up, and here's the opportunity. And sometimes when you go through that journey, you come out with a little bit less pressure. You're like, you know what? I'm a little bit freer at the plate, or if you're a pitcher, you're a little freer on the mound. Less to worry about. But for me personally, just watching it, you know, when you're in a bad clubhouse, everything's magnified, everything's worse. Nobody plays as a team. And so he might have been dealing with some of that in Chicago, where it's like, why would I hit behind the runner? Why am I trying to do this? Why am I trying to do that? Why am I trying to grind out this at bat or walk or sack bunt or play the game the right way fundamentally? Because we're losing, you know, 100 games a year or whatever. So to me, being a part of a team that says you better play like this or you're not going to be here, I think is right up his alley. He's been wanting to be on a team with played like this right here. And so he's thriving in it. It's a good clubhouse. So it's not a surprise that they bring a guy over. Gavin Sheets did the same thing going from Chicago to San Diego. And, I mean, there's a laundry list of guys that have done that. So I'm not surprised. I'm only surprised how incredibly consistent he's been. Every time he comes to the plate, it's like, stop what you're doing and watch right here, because he's about to hit an extra base hit for RBIs.
No doubt. I was going to have Charlie play something, but I can see on our little YouTube thing here that he's not at the board right now. So I'll just tell you, the comparison that was made on MLB Network and who they think Andrew Vaughn might be if he can continue, you know, hitting the way he is, the comparison was Matt Williams and the power and the contact and how he played and how he was aggressive at the plate and his swing philosophy and judgment and so forth. I haven't heard Matt Williams' name in forever, but when they said it, I was like, oh, man. Like, if he's that, they have got something big time right here if he's that guy.
Well, he's a swinger right now. Like, yeah. What we've seen from Vaughn as a Brewer, he swings the bat. I mean, he comes out first pitch, he smashes it, it's a foul ball, he doesn't care. Like, you can just tell he's okay in different counts. Some of the stuff that he's doing, getting the big hits, he's getting with two strikes. And I remember, I think it was his second or third game, guy was beating him with fastball. He was at everything and all of a sudden got a curveball and he kept his hands back. And I'm telling you, as a pitcher, that is a nightmare to see. When that guy's hands are not going forward after you've thrown an off-speed pitch and he crushed a homer, I think the left center, that right there said this guy knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing at the plate and he's finally, you know, on a team that this kind of way they're playing is going to be contagious. I think this has been the best place for him. I think the Brewers needed him. I think he needed the Brewers.
It's awesome. He is Tim Dillard. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. He joins us each and every Thursday, Brewers Allens for FanDuel Sports Network. Normally joins us at 3:20, but today it is the day to go talk to the teachers, Tim Dillard. And I got to tell you, I got to tell you, I don't know if you like talking to the teachers or how that all works, but sometimes they already know your kid before you even get to the teacher. Oh, yeah, I know little so-and-so. I've heard all about him from the previous year's teacher or whatever the case may be. And they're like, okay, you know my kid really well, so this should go really smoothly. How is your interaction with teachers? Do they know who you are? They're like, oh, you're the funny guy.
No, not usually. I usually
really?
Meet them like 10 times, and I can't even remember. And they're like, hey, good to see you again. I'm like, you know, the awkward interaction. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. but I used to make these videos in the car line at my
yes.
elementary school.
Loved
so that
it.
Kind of put me on the – put me on the map a little bit with some of these teachers. They're like, you're the guy that dresses up in the car and does stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. So my kid's probably embarrassed of that.
Those videos are amazing. I love those videos. There he is, Tim Dillard. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate you. We'll talk next week. There
you
he
got
is.
Sparky.